sign them in and out. So there we go. Okay, so now I can introduce the speaker. I don't know why tears come, but maybe it's because I'm so excited. But I can introduce my son, Daniel, and his wife, Rachel Swan, and they're going to give their testimony today. And it is just a love in my heart that I just get to sit and listen to them today. So would you come up, and I'll pray for you. My grandson's little writer's laughing at me because I'm crying. Okay. There's two mics. Okay, listen. Dear Lord, I just thank you for Daniel and Rachel. I thank you for their lives. I thank you for their testimony. And Lord, just bless the whole world through them. In your name, amen.
Amen.
There you go.
Amen. Thank you, Mom. You guys know my parents, John and Becky Swan, and you probably know my brother, Jeff Swan. But this is the first time I've ever stood up here. And so praise God for that. Today we wanted to come and share about our trip to Brazil that we did during our second year at Caris. We did a trip to Brazil. And we went there and we saw God do amazing things. And when they asked us, like, would you want to share? We're like, man, any way we can share the love of God, glorify God for what he did on that trip is absolutely yes, absolutely. So even if you do feel uncomfortable coming up, and this is something that you just have to do, like, you got to glorify God for what he did. So opportunity came and here we are, so it's awesome. So let me just give you a little intro about who we are. My name's Daniel Swan, Rachel Swan. My son, Ryder Swan, down there. We moved to Colorado a year ago and to go to Caris Bible College, and we just experienced the goodness of God. And, man, I could just talk about that for a very long time, but we're going to keep moving. And so down in Caris, like I was saying, on second year, like you go on a mission trip, and it's just an incredible time. And we got to see amazing miracles. We got to see the power of God move. It's just, hopefully we can explain it to you in a way that makes it real, that we can paint a picture that you can see how God moved, because it was amazing. So, yeah. Caris is awesome. We just graduated from our second year at Caris, and we're going back for a third at the end of the summer. And we felt God calling us there. We quit our jobs, and we just moved down there. And, man, it was the best thing we could have did, best decision we've ever made. It was just listening to the call of God. And so if you could do the next slide, please.
All right. So as Daniel said, we had to go on a mission for second year. As we moved down there, we had made the decision, maybe without God, to go on the mission together. We felt like we can have Grandma come down and watch Ryder, and we thought that's just what we're going to do. And then I heard from the Lord that you should go on separate trips, and I thought, did I hear that right? But as we prayed about it, we really just wanted to be obedient to him and everything that he had for us on that trip. So if he wanted to go us, like have us go on separate trips, we were supposed to. And I'll share a little bit later about what came out of that, of us going on separate trips. And it was God that was saying to go on separate trips. So you'll see that we have two teams here. Each of us went on different teams, and then this on the map is everywhere that Caris sends their students. And so they showed us all these locations, and they said to kind of pray about it and ask where you'd want to go. We just said anywhere. We knew we wanted to go separately. But within that of us going on our separate trips, God really moved. And we didn't realize that they sent two teams to Brazil. And it was such a blessing that he placed us on the same, we got to go to the same location, but yet we went on separate trips. So I went on Brazil 1 and he went on Brazil 2. And while we didn't go together, we were able to grow in our relationship with God separately, but yet come back. And as we shared our testimony of the trip, we were able to connect through that because we knew we did the same things. Like, we went to the same areas. So it was definitely an amazing blessing to get to do that. So if you could go to the next slide.
So those are our hosts right there in Brazil. That is Johan and Brenda, you see there with Rachel. And they're evangelists originally from the Netherlands, and they are a powerful couple. They're all over the place, and they're just seeing God move in mighty ways in Brazil and Portugal and just many places where they go. They have a incredible ministry, One in Him Foundation. His testimony is absolutely amazing. He found God in prison when he was in prison. I would highly encourage you to read that if you like reading testimony books. It's great. So they were our hosts, and they were great. You know, they told us what to expect, and with all the ministering that we were going to be doing, we primarily did street evangelism, and we went to rehab clinics, big rehab clinics down in Brazil. And so they told us what to expect. They gave us training, you know, what to expect on the streets, because it's a little different on the streets down there than on the streets here, tell you what. So these guys did amazing things for us, and they just encouraged us in the Lord. And I liked what Rachel was saying, you know, just about the testimonies of us going on separate trips, because that was God. And you look back, when you look back, you see, you know, God's, what he did in that. You know, you can't see it at the time, you just step forward in faith. But he just changed us dramatically. And that's part of the thing I want to share today, is like, I'm not just here to tell you what happened in Brazil and, you know, the cool things that God did with those people, but it was the good things that God did in our lives. He changed us, like, completely. It's just to see him working, to see what he's doing, to see his love for the people, and that's every person on earth. Like, it's just we got to give him our yes, and when we give him our yes, we step out, and man, you get to see amazing things happen when you step out, when you're not feeling it. You walk across the street to talk to somebody, even though you don't feel like doing it, you know, like you feel scared, but God's going to do amazing things if you will step out and do those things. But anyway, so our first day, next slide, please. This is the first rehab clinic in Brazil. So we were, sorry, I should have clarified, we were in Sao Paulo, Brazil. So it's a city of about 20 million people, the city and surrounding. It's a big area. It's big, and the slums are huge. But anyway, this is the rehab clinic on the first day of my trip. And so part of my testimony is, you know, I'd never done anything like this before. You know, I've been working in Lusten, you know, at a hospital for the last 17 years, just loving life, just doing my thing. But this is all brand new for me and all brand new for Rachel, doing this kind of ministry. So we just said at the beginning, before we even left, just like, Lord, whatever you have us to do, we say yes. Anything you tell us to do, we'll do it. And that's the key to every day, key to everyday life. And that's not for across the world, that's for here right now. So anyway, this first day, it was powerful. We went, we worshiped with them, we hugged on them, we loved on these guys. And my teammate, you know, he preached a good message, you know, about the grace of God and the healing power of God. And they asked for volunteers before he went up and preached and this is what I wanted to share about my testimony, is like despite not doing it before, like I couldn't volunteer fast enough. Like, I wanted to be first. I didn't know what was going to happen, but the Holy Spirit just showed up in a big way. So I turned back to my friend. He preached this great message, and you could just feel the power of God, the presence of God in the room, you know. And so we had a bunch of people come up front, and the greatest miracle of all, a bunch of people got saved, people filled with the Holy Ghost, and then they lined up for prayer, you know, for healing in their bodies. And so we're standing up front, and they came up, and it's so good, you know. The first person I prayed for, you know, just immediately gets healed. And we have interpreters, right? We're doing everything through interpreters. But you don't need an interpreter to see somebody get healed. Like, he's smiling, he's hugging me, he's just like, the interpreter's like saying, the pain is gone, you know, and he's just like yelling. And man, and as soon as he got out of the way, the next guy came up, same thing happened. Boom, 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 miracles, healings, one after another. And this just wasn't my line. This was happening down the line, too. In this small rehab clinic on the first day, we have some numbers at the end we'll share, but just a bunch of people got healed. People got saved, filled with the Holy Ghost. The power of God was there. And there's nothing special about any of our team, you know. We're all, like, came from all over the place, and we just came together. We said yes to God, and we went, and God just showed up, and he's like, yeah, I'm going to show you my glory, my goodness, my power. I'm going to show you how awesome I am and how much I want to touch people. All I need you to do is go touch them, you know. That's all it is. It's so powerful. So, all right, next slide, please.
Yeah, so we experienced the same thing with instant healing. So it's just so miraculous. And one of my favorite stories about an instant healing is we went to the slums, so you can see kind of what it looked like where we were. Those were, you know, the homes and the type of homes they lived in. This was a beautiful river that they had, you know, there's garbage and feces in it, and it's just everywhere. Garbage is everywhere. It's something that, I mean, you see litter on the side of the road, but it's nothing you experience in America. It's just like, why is there garbage everywhere? And it's just little kids running around without their parents because their parents have to work. So you see just like little girls watching their babies. You know, they have babies that they're running around with. And you're like, oh my goodness, it's just really heart-wrenching. But we had kind of a mini crusade for them where we just got to bring the love and joy of God to them. And we did face painting and dances and passed out food and balloon animals and just really just loved on them all day. And during that day, Johan and Brenda were there, and they would take smaller teams out to go through the streets of the slums. And when Johan took our team out, we were walking through, and a person came up to us and told Johan, oh, you should go up there. And I think actually in the picture, it's like up in those houses. And he shared with us later, like, I never would go up there. I would never take the team up there because we've never even been up there. But he just really felt led by the Spirit to take us up there. So we went up there, and all of us were just going blindly because we're like, oh yeah, Johan's taking us, so it'll be fine. We got God. And we got to the house, and there was like dogs barking, and it was really crazy. And even they warned us, like, if you don't like dogs, don't go in there. But I'm like, oh, it's fine, let's go. And so there was a man in there, and he shared with Johan, because he didn't speak English, that he had broken his arm the day before and that he wasn't going to be able to go back to work at the chocolate factory that he worked at. And that's their everything. They won't eat if they don't go to work. And also, like, they don't have health care. They can't go to the hospital. Like, he just assumed it was broken. It wasn't in a cast. There is no hospitals, basically, that you can go to when you're poor there. And so we prayed for him, and one of my teammates placed her hand on his arm, and then we all gathered around him and prayed. And it's actually this picture right here of the man in the blue. And we, in the name of Jesus, we commanded the arm to be healed. And she felt the bone align underneath her hand. And all of us just saw the swelling start to go down. It was so awesome. And it was awesome because he was like moving around. He's like, how'd you do that? How'd you do that? And Johan's like, Jesus. And we're all yelling, Jesus. And within like 2 minutes, he's like doing push-ups like on the ground. And we're like, okay. And then everybody was like all excited. So his wife comes because she's like, what is this commotion all about? And she's like, oh my goodness, you're healed. And she shared that her leg was in extreme pain and she was like just couldn't walk on it. She didn't know what was wrong with it. Again, you can't go to the hospital and find out. So I laid my hand on her leg, and in the name of Jesus, we commanded pain to be gone and to full healing, and she instantly said it was gone and the pain was gone. So both of them were healed. He shared that he had prayed to God that morning that God would send somebody to help him. And it's just so amazing to see, like, God sent us across the world to help him. And we went up to somewhere they'd never been. And they came down and joined the event that we were putting on. And they stayed and watched our testimonies and joined in the fun. And it was just, like, my favorite part about the trip, and this was really there strong that day, was I would make eye contact with the lady. And she didn't speak most of the time, just her husband shared the testimony and kind of what was going on. But I would make eye contact with her throughout the day, and she would just light up, and we'd smile at each other. And just, it was so awesome to just see, like, God be able to love somebody through you. Like, he sent us there to love these people, and he just valued them so much. It was awesome to see him use us, but be able to connect to these people we didn't know their language. So next slide.
I love that testimony. I get fired up every time I hear it. It's so good.
Next slide.
Yeah, next slide, please. Okay. So another day down there, we went to kind of downtown in the city, kind of upscale area, and they were having like a festival, or they closed down the streets, and there's thousands of people in the streets, and these people are shopping, they're drinking, they're partying, you know, they're having a good time. And we came in there, you know, we set up our spot, we have this huge speaker, and we, on that speaker, we played music, we danced, we worshiped the Lord. We had a great day. We did skits. That's another thing that we did on this trip. We had a couple different skits that we did at different places. And then we would go around in teams with an interpreter, with all these people that are walking up and down these streets, and just encounter people and just tell them about Jesus. And as many people as we could get to stop and talk to us, which was a lot, but probably just as many, you know, they didn't want to have anything to do with us, but we talked to so many, and we blessed so many, and it was so good, because people would just stop randomly, and they just get to encounter the love of God, and it just changed their day. One that really stands out to me that happened on my trip when we were there. I had three girls with me from my team, or two girls from my team and an interpreter. This couple stopped. You can see them up there in the far right. We started talking to them, and through the interpreter, we found out that they were born again, they were saved, and it was awesome. And they're just like thanking us and loving us for being out there. And so we're like, can we help you, or can we pray for you about anything? Can we join together and pray? And they immediately were like, yes, our teenage daughter, she's super depressed. We're very worried about her. She's just been depressed, and we have no idea why. And so we're like, well, absolutely. We all joined hands, circle in the street. We prayed for their daughter. And after we prayed for the daughter, the parents, they just started talking more about the daughter and who she was and her name. And our interpreter, she's from Sao Paulo, a city of 20 million people. As she talked, she looks at us and she's like, I think I know this girl. And we're just like, how could that even be? You know, she's never seen these people in her life, you know, the parents. And so as they continue to talk, she they said her name, and she got out her phone, started scrolling, and pulled up a picture of their daughter on her phone. And she's like, this girl goes to my youth group. And it was just so incredible to see that God just put us there in that time with that interpreter. We had a group of interpreters and stopped them randomly on the street. And we got to pray for their daughter. And then she's going to know about her and continue to be able to minister even after we leave. And it's just another one of those divine connections that we saw all throughout the trip. The guy that prayed for someone to come, and God knows all this stuff before the foundation of the world, that we're going to be there, who's going to say yes, what's going to happen. And we just got to see that the whole time. And I just want to encourage you, like, this is every day. This is all of us, anywhere. You say yes and go. Just step out. You're going to see God move. And, man, it's incredible. So what do I have next on here? Next slide, please.
Yeah. Oh. So as he was saying, it was just so cool to share with the people that we were sent there for them. Like, God sent our team to touch every single person that we ministered or prayed for, and it was really an amazing experience to get to see that come to fruition. And so the next place we went was a shelter, and it was downtown in an area. Like, there was buildings and shopping and everything, but it was in a lower scale area that they were indicating. Like, you wouldn't walk on the street, you'd either get kidnapped or other. And so there was just a lot of people around, homeless, and they have a shelter that the men could go in and just have refuge, basically, have a place to stay, or get some water, or take a shower, and go to the bathroom. So we went there to minister and pray for them, and then also we had like a bag of things to pass out to them, like shirts and flip-flops, and just seeing their joy of receiving a new pair of flip-flops was just so heart-touching, because they were like pulling off their flip-flops and putting the new ones on. And during that, so my testimony during that time, we had the first, when we got there, one of my teammates shared the gospel and had an altar call, and we had so many men come up to receive salvation, and we all got to pray the prayer of salvation and for them to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit during that time. And then afterwards, we had them all get in line to go get what we brought them. And during that time, we would go and ask if they needed any prayer. But they weren't very receptive to the prayer at that time, because they were just really concerned about being able to get what we brought them. Like, they wanted to make sure they were far enough up in the line to get, they didn't want to miss out on it. So they're like, we don't want prayer. So we just stood back until they got done. And so my teammates thought, oh, well, we'll just go to the bathroom while we're waiting. So they left me with an interpreter. And while I'm standing there, I look over and there's this man, and he's like waving me over and he's pointing at his eyes. And I could tell from a distance something was wrong with his eyes. They looked like cloudy, and he kind of wasn't really looking at me very, like, directly. So I went over there, and I asked him what was wrong, and he shared that his eyes were going bad. And he could still see a little, but he said it was just getting worse and worse and worse, and it was like a disease that he had that the doctors, you know, they're like, you won't see in very soon. So I asked him if he wanted me to pray for him, and he said yes. And so I laid my hands, so this is the man right there, and I laid my hands over his eyes, and in the name of Jesus, I just commanded sight to return. And I said, are they better? And he said, well, maybe a little bit, but, and I asked him, do you want me to pray again? And he's like, oh, no, I believe they're healed. And I said, yes, absolutely. We believe once we pray in the name of Jesus, like, that healing will manifest. He said, oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, okay. So I went back to where we were standing, and he got in the line. And here he is coming back through the line. And at the end of the line, we had a prayer line. So we thought, well, maybe they'll take prayer once they're done getting their stuff. And so he came through, and I was in the prayer line. And I could see him over there, and he was, he just kind of looked a little shaken up. I wasn't sure what was going on. He was, you know, looking down and shaking his head. So I grabbed the interpreter. I'm like, what's going on? Are you okay? He's like, they're getting better. Like, they're getting better. And he was just so excited. And I'm like, praise the Lord. And we were like shouting and just really pointing to Jesus, you know, even because you can't like say praise the Lord. You're just like pointing up to God and, you know, showing him who healed him. And I handed him like a little Jesus. We were giving out little Jesus. I don't even know what they're, plastic things. And he's like looking at it and he just started weeping. And I was like, oh my goodness, this is so awesome. So I'm like, okay, I got to go back to the prayer line because I stole the interpreter. We're supposed to share them. And so I'm like running back. And all of a sudden I just stop and the Holy Spirit says, aren't you going to ask him to receive Jesus in his heart? I'm like, oh my goodness, yes. So I turned around, grabbed a teammate, and we led him through, you know, we explained salvation and led him through the prayer of salvation. And then when we were explaining the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and right when we were doing that, he said, oh yeah, I want to receive that. But our leads yelled out, it's time to go. And really, they explained to us, wherever we go, if we say go, you, whatever you're doing, you grab your stuff and leave, because you don't know if we're in danger or not, but we do. So, like, make sure to listen to us if we just, so you're, like, running, you know, you're like, I gotta go. But I just laid my hand on his head and said, Holy Spirit, come. And then we hugged and we left. And even leaving and you go, oh, I wish I could have done more. You know that God showed up and is with him. Like, we didn't leave him alone. And he has God. And just to see that, like, if God sent me there just to do that one thing, it would have been all worth going. It would have been worth all second year. Like, just touching that man's life. Like, it changed his life. Like, he's already on the street. And then not to be able to see, that just makes it even worse. So just the value of one person, like, God will use you to touch one person, and that one person is worth so much, as in the parable of the sheep. You know, he will go after that one because he loves them that much. So next slide.
Amen. I'm getting blessed all over again. So in that same area, so they went first to Brazil, and then so they had never been to that area before. And so when we got there, they said, we're going to go down there and minister in the area. And it's a rough part of town. We pulled up to the square, you know, and I was just still sitting in the van. We hadn't even got out yet. And just right outside my window, there's guys out there, like, they're snorting drugs, you know, right on the street. Everyone's drinking. There's prostitutes over here. There's just, it's just darkness. The whole place. There's people laying in the streets. There was a lady laying in the streets. From the time we got there to the time we left, she never even moved as far as I could tell. They just walked around her and just like motorcycles would drive around her. No one was coming. No one's coming. I did kneel by her and prayed for her, but she's just completely out. She was breathing, so that's good. But this is just what it was like. You know, it was just a wild place. And so all these people are lined up for the shelter. I believe it's the same shelter. I'm not sure if there's another shelter or not, but all these men are lined up. There's 100-plus men lined up waiting for the shelter just up down the street corner. And the square is full of all these people. You know, they're there. Over half of the people we ministered to, when we talked later that night, the whole team, like, over half the people we ministered to, they were intoxicated. They were on drugs of some kind. It was just that kind of area. But I thought it was awesome. You know, like, when I was reflecting later that night, like, I mean, this whole place is just darkness. You know, everyone out here is just struggling. And we got, like, 30 lights of Jesus jumped out of that bus. And just, we just went through the whole square, like, all day. We set up right in the middle of the enemy's camp. And we had this big speaker. And we just started worshiping God, singing praises, started doing skits. And then we had teammates doing testimonies, you know, and we got a big speaker. Like, they're hearing it, like, whether they want to or not. And then the rest of us, we took big boxes of sandwiches. We brought sandwiches and water. That morning before we left, we made hundreds of sandwiches and bottled water. And we We just went down the line of all those men waiting to get in the shelter, and we're just like, Jesus loves you, Jesus loves you, just in their own language, and handed them all out until they were all gone. And it's kind of chaos, you know, a bunch of people that are intoxicated and they're hungry, like they want to get this food, you know, that they are absolutely like, I got to get that. So like they're all around you, you know, but the whole time, you know, I felt the peace of God. I wasn't worried. I wasn't afraid. I knew we were 100% going to be just fine. We had a job to do this day and couldn't explain it, but it was amazing getting to just jump in there and just say, God, like, what do we do? I mean, we talked and prayed with so many people, a bunch of people, received salvation, baptism of the Holy Spirit. But one that really stuck out to me, like right after I got done helping hand out these sandwiches, we were done. I turned around and there's this man standing there, and he's like 6'5". He's like humongous. I'm just looking up at him, and you know he's really intoxicated, and we're just like, what we always do. We're just like, hey, can we pray for you? You know, what do you need? And the first thing he says, he's like. The demons torment me day and night. He's like, the demons torment me day and night. I'm like, okay, all right. This guy, we got a live one, like, right off the bat. and so, as Johan showed us, you know, like, what the people were like, you know, down in these areas, he's like, when you pray for them, you know, he's like, just get a hold of their wrist, you know. It's a good connection, you know, for God's power to flow, but also it keeps, like, you know, you have control of the situation in a certain way, you know. I don't know how much control you have over a guy that's 6'5" and like a monster, but I just grabbed his wrist and I was like, okay, do you want us to pray about these demons? And he said, yes, I want you to pray about them. So immediately my friend and I, we just said, in the name of Jesus, we command demons to leave in Jesus' name. And right when we started to pray, he like pulled me in, like pulled me hard and groaned really loud, and I'm like, just pulled me into his chest. I'm like up against him like this, and then I'm still holding his wrist, and then he just, as soon as I finished the prayer, he just went calm. He just stood there in front of me, and I'm just holding his wrist, and I didn't have anything else to say. I'd already said it. I know who I carry. I know who's in me. I knew what was going to happen, and he just stood there, and he slowly lifted his head, and he had this big smile on his face. And still clearly intoxicated, but the big smile on his face. And so I just started like telling him, like, you know, Jesus loves you so much, you know, through the interpreter. And we led him to salvation right there on the street. So from demon possessed or oppressed to salvation, you know, in less than 10 minutes, you know, it was amazing. And this is just one of, there's 30 of us there. And when we debriefed every night, you know, this is, my teammates are all having these same experiences, right? They're all seeing the same things we're talking about, you know. This is just what we were doing and what we saw. So it was powerful, but the light invaded the darkness of that square that day, and they had never been there before, and I imagine they're going to be going back because we saw so much fruit from that trip. So that was incredible. So next slide, please.
Yeah, so these are some pictures of me on my mission trip. So getting to share the testimonies hopefully gives you a picture of what it was like. But that was like every day, every minute. You felt like they were just like, go, to pray, to do this. So then you're like, okay, Lord help. You know, it's like you wake up and you're like, God, I know you, like you're going to bring the divine connections today. And I give you yes, and use me. And he did, and it was like, by the end of the day when you're debriefing and writing about it, I found that, like, it wasn't all just like, woohoo! Like, for me, there was a struggle within the mission. And when I would write about it, like, I realized I was getting back in the flesh. And I was saying, I can't do this. And, like, probably the enemy was saying that, of course, but he's, you know, it's like, you can't do this. What are you doing? Why are you being so bold? Like, those weren't really, like, those miracles didn't work. And it just was like, in my head, and I'm like, oh my goodness, yeah, and my old self would run away from this situation, hands down, every day, absolutely not doing that again, and I wanted to do that. So I would, like, in the flesh want to run away and say, can I please just go home, Lord? And he revealed, like, are you going to ask me to help you process this? Are you going to use my strength when you come home and look back on the day? And it's not about, like, stop looking at your flesh and stop looking at who you used to be, but look at who you are in, like, me inside of you. Like, look at your true identity and what I can do through you, and stop looking at who you used to be. And really, within that, like, that process of everything that I was being stretched and out of my comfort zone, came this, like, reliance and trust on the Lord. Like, he showed me that it didn't matter what I was processing or what I was doing. He wanted to be right there with me and just to, like, cast my cares on him. And he was there for me. And this really is the example of, like, why we were meant to go on separate mission trips, because the men's and women's bunkhouses were very close together. I mean, they were, you know, right across the street from each other. And I think if Daniel was there, I would have been, like, texting him, like, come outside. I'm, like, freaking out here. And because he wasn't there, like, I mean, it's like I realized, like, I didn't have any other option, but I realized that's what I need to do. So, like, I carried that back home too. It wasn't just on the mission. It was like, God's like, are you going to ask me to help you? And it was just awesome, because once I did, I was free from that. Like, I didn't think about the flesh anymore and just moved on with him. And that trust that I gained, and that, like, deepening of the relationship with God during the mission is why we were meant to go on separate ones. And also just the greatest growing for me during that mission. All right, next slide.
All right, this is our last days, some of our pictures at the last rehab clinic. So the last rehab clinic was the biggest one. There was probably close to 200 men there. And it's not just a building, you know, on a street. It's, you pull in and, you know, there's a place to park, but there's, like, a big building for the detox, you know, because so many men come in. So there's a bunch of men in this building detoxing. We didn't ever see them, of course, but then they moved. It's like a six-month program. Then they moved down, and Johan and Brenda, they put a lot of money into these rehab clinics. And so they come in, and they have services. These men get to see the love of Jesus. We did worship with all these men, and they're just, like, loving God, yelling and just screaming and loving God in Portuguese and worshiping God. And we didn't even know what the words were, but it didn't matter. Like, it was just as powerful, just as powerful as if I knew the words. You know, I was just, like, had my hands up and just, like, praise Jesus. This is so good. And there was, so those are the guys that are, like, nearing the end of their 6 months, you know. But then they had the guys that had just come in for their first 3 months from the detox. And this was our last day on the trip. And by then I'd gotten up every morning, and I just said, God, like, whatever it is today, yes. I say yes. Like, I don't know what we're going to do. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know if they're going to ask me to speak, because we didn't know. Like, they would just come grab you and be like, get up there and speak. And you're like, I guess it's my turn. You know, you just walk up there, and you're like, praise God for the Holy Spirit. You know, I'm like, what else am I going to say? But this is me on the bottom here. Like, there's probably, I don't know, 80 to 100 men. They just put chairs all around the room. And we just got up and just shared our testimony and the goodness of God. And I got to walk around that circle, and I just got to look every single one of those men in the eye and just tell them about how God will touch their lives if he'll let them, and how he loves them so much. And it was awesome. It was so powerful. And it was... For never doing it before, it just flowed. The Holy Spirit just came and just empowered me, told me what to say. I just walked around, and same thing with my teammates. A lot of my teammates, I didn't know their testimonies. Karis is a big place. Like our classes, there's
like 300
people in our class. I knew some of them, but just watching them just share their testimony, and I could see that they were having the same experience I was. They had said yes, and they're out there just on the edge, like they've never done this before either. And it was powerful, and we saw, as you can see bottom right, we saw many miracles this day. We saw many salvations on that last day. It was the biggest place, and I just knew that we were there. Like by the last day, I'm just like, God, this is so good. This is so good. We're here, and things are happening like nonstop everywhere we go. It's just like the power of God is just with us, and it's like, well, he said, like anytime you gather, like we just take that for granted. Two or three gather in my name, I'm there in the midst of them. Like, I mean, who are we gathered in the name of today? Like, who is it?
Jesus.
He's here. He's here. The Bible's true. Everything it says is true. And the fruit that we got to see from these men and the people that got saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, a lot of them were already saved, but a bunch more got saved, and it was tremendous. And God just did incredible things in my heart during this trip and seeing this stuff. And he just taught me that I could rely on him in anything. He's faithful whether you're going to the gas station. He's faithful whether you're walking in the grocery store. He's faithful when you're out riding your dirt bike. Like he's with you. And when you acknowledge him and just talk to him like he is, and he's just like, oh, thank you. He just loves on you. You can feel his love on you just whenever you want to just, it's like you got your eyes on yourself or you want to look at Jesus, and you just turn and look at Jesus, and you're like, oh. He's like, I've been here the whole time. Like, I've been waiting for you to look at me. Like, will you look at me more often? I'm like, yeah, yes, I will. Yes, I will. I see what you're doing, and I want to be a part of it. And he said, well, if you say yes, you can be a part of it every day, all the time, wherever you are. And in Colorado Springs, at Karis, we're up on the mountain, but we go down to Colorado Springs and we do street evangelism down there. And I get to go down there and walk around, and I've had some crazy stuff happen down there too. Amazing stuff. This isn't like other side of the world stuff. I've seen people saved on the street. I've seen people instantly healed. I could tell you a dozen more testimonies just from Colorado Springs that isn't in Brazil. This is everywhere. Mm-hmm. And we got some other testimonies too, but that's not my testimony. I'll let someone else share that one. When you might hear that this summer.
So we just wanted to share. This is the report out for the impact. There was 24 teams that went out in Karis, and this was the end of the year impact report. So just everybody said yes and went out and touched all those people's life. It was just really awesome to see that. All those numbers. It was amazing. So if you could go to the next slide, I think that's the final slide. So it's just really about, like, throughout that, like, all of our testimonies, and as we're reflecting back on it as we went through this to go over today, it was really just we said yes to God when he sent us on these missions, but really learning that it's an everyday surrender to him, and it's surrendering all to him. And when you do that, he brings the divine connections to you. So it's not like they're everywhere. Like, God wants to touch everybody, and God wants to show his love towards every single person. He values everybody, and he wants to use everybody to minister to everybody. And just a quick testimony of that, we got back and we really wanted to just keep our hearts and surrender to God, but we were like questioning and wondering what we were going to do this coming year at school. We weren't sure if we'd go back. So I'm like, well, let's just go down and talk things out, and let's go for a walk at this place. And Daniel's like, where's that place? I'm like, oh, I don't know. I saw it. Let's just do it. And so we went for a walk, and we were walking, and we got to a place that was, like, super snowy. I'm like, I don't think we should go down there. I'll get my shoes dirty. But we did anyways. And as we were coming back, I could see Daniel was, like, looking at this person. I'm like, oh, goodness, he's going to ask this person to pray for him. And I'm like, okay. But she was, like, she had, like, three dogs and bear spray. I'm not sure why. And she's, like, didn't look happy. I'm like, don't make eye contact with her, you know. But he's like, oh, hey, can we pray for you? And actually she was like, no. And she just ran off. I'm like, okay. So then here comes the next lady. And luckily he's bolder than I, because I'm like, okay, like, nobody else, but, like, don't pray for this lady. And he's like, can we pray for you? And she's like, yeah, I've had a headache all day, and it's so painful. And so Daniel prayed for her, and she's like, yeah, there's not, it's just the same. And I got a word of knowledge that it was her ear. And so I said, I think it's her ear. And so Daniel placed his hand on her ear, and we, like, before he could even get one word out, she's like, it's better. Like, it's completely better. I don't have any pain. Like, my headache's gone. And she continued to share that God had said, if you go for this walk, you will be healed. And she didn't know how it was going to happen, but she's like, and it's just a little example of, like, we, like, had our hearts open to hear the Holy Spirit, and he stepped out with boldness. but really, it was awesome because she was blessed and was healed, and it was what God wanted for her. But also within that, it was just such a revelation to us that we were on God's path for us, and he was leading us, and he was guiding us, and just to stay on his path. And that's when we actually decided to go back, or continue on third year at Karis. So just that everyday surrender. Like,
for us, you know, at the time, we're just like, oh, this is awesome, that lady got healed. But when we reflected on it later that night, we're just like, we were right where God knew we were going to be. He sent her to meet, like, this was a divine connection. Like, he had known, and this is behind Safeway. Like, this is a path behind the grocery store. Like, we're just walking, like, he knew we were going to be there, and he knew what was going to happen. And it was just, I don't know, it's like, you know how powerful it is to know that you are where God wants you to be, when he wants you to be there? It just impacted us. We're just like, okay, I think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing, right? Like, this is like a confirmation. And so that was amazing. And I lost my train of thought. Now what are we doing? Okay. So with that, we got to see incredible things. God has touched us, and I just want to just reiterate, it's like, we talk to a lot of people on those evangelisms, and even on the mission, and we pray for a lot of people, and a lot of people, they're like, you know, nothing changed, nothing happened, you know. It's like, but a lot of people, they get healed. So I don't know why everyone doesn't get healed when you lay your hands on them, pray for them. I don't care. It doesn't matter. I know that God wants people well, and I know that he wants me to pray for people, and I know that he wants me to lay my hands on the sick, and they will recover. So it's amazing. I'm not going to let what I don't know stop me from doing what I do know. So whatever, why people don't always get healed, is it doesn't matter to me. I mean, I'll know someday when I get to heaven, or maybe sooner if God reveals it to me. But when you see so many people miraculously touched by God's power, like, over and over and over again, just in the last year, and a lot of you don't know me, but a lot of you do, and some of you know me really well. And you know that I'm just a guy that has made a lot of mistakes and have done a lot of crazy stuff. And it has nothing to do with who I am. It has to do with who he is. I'm born again from above. I have the Holy Spirit inside of me. I have the ability to make a difference in people's lives. Anywhere I go, I can be a walking testament to the kingdom of God. And this is something that anyone that's born, they know us, you know, like we were wild. We were wild.
Just you. I'll have to repent for that later.
But God has shown us that the goodness of God can't be earned. The love of God can't be worked up. Like, it's a free gift. It's a free gift for all of us. The goodness is available to every person that will accept it. And we carry this message of absolute freedom for people. You know, like, we have the message. The people that don't know, they don't know. They don't know that we have the gift that will change their life, not just for eternity. This isn't so you get to heaven. This is to live eternity right now. The gift of God, eternal life, the definition in the Bible is to know God and to know Jesus whom he sent. That is the definition of eternal life. And that happens when you're born again. So every person in here is living eternal life. Like, we're going to know each other for eternity. All of us. It's so good. Like, it's already begun. And man, I just want to encourage you to just say yes. Wake up in the morning and say, Jesus, what do you got for me today? And just be sensitive to hear. Like, when you're driving down the street, you know, I've done this before. And it's like, I see something. I'm like, pull over. I'm like, I got stuff to do. I'm like, I'm just going to go talk to them, you know. Sometimes it works out good. Sometimes they're like, why are you bothering me? You know, it's like, who cares? Like, who cares if you're rejected? It doesn't matter. Like, if you have an opportunity to share the goodness of God with somebody and they join the family and they enter into eternal life right there in front of you, what is that worth for that person? What is that worth? It's more than you can even... We can't even fathom what that's worth. God just, like, the whole of heaven is celebrating when that person says yes. And I just want to encourage all of you. I don't want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to step out in faith. Talk to somebody that feels awkward. It's when you step over that line when it feels awkward. I tell you what, every time I'm walking on the streets of Colorado Springs and I just go up to these people, I'm like, all right, here we go. You don't know what's going to happen. You know, your flesh does not want to do that. But you know what could happen and what you have seen happen. And when you know what could happen and what you have seen happen over and over again, then there is just this boldness that it's like, all right, I'm going to give it a go. I'm going in the name of Jesus. And when I go in the name of Jesus, you read in Romans, like, signs and wonders will follow. Will follow, not may follow. They will follow. You don't have to wonder if they will. If you keep going, you're going to see them. It's just a fact. And when that fact gets into your brain, you start saying, all right, like, this is going to happen. Might not happen right now. Might not even happen today, but it's going to happen. It does happen. The Bible declares it. I believe it. It's going to happen. So I just want to challenge any of you, all of you, to step out past your comfort zone and just talk to somebody. And it's not about leading someone to salvation. It's just saying, you know, Jesus loves you. You know, this is going to be a great, just encourage them. You don't even have to go live. And you're planting a seed, and maybe the seed you plant, someone's going to come along and water. Maybe someone's going to come along. And then you're going to see all, like, the fruit we got to see on our mission trip. There's been seeds planted, and we got to come along and do a bunch of the harvest. And it's just the whole process. It's amazing. You know what? I'm gonna ask people to be bold. If anyone wants to see, like, God work wants to step out and say, yes, I am going to try this. Yes, I will do this. I will tell somebody Jesus loves them. I want you to stand up. Amen. Amen. Hearts are willing, man. Hearts are willing. You know what's possible. First time I got out of the car down in Colorado Springs, and I'd never done this before, super nervous. Like, it was like God just activated me. And I just went, and I just ping-ponged off every person that I saw. And I'm just like, can I pray for you? You know, and before you know it, you're just like standing on the street, and you're like holding hands with complete strangers, and you're praying for their uncle, you know, to know God or to be healed of diabetes. It's just, I just felt God. He just activated me in a way that you just can't go back. You just can't go back. It's because I've seen too much good. I just want to see more. I can't help it. I just have to see more because God said He's going to show me more, and I just want to grow in that. So I'm just going to pray for you today, and feel free to jump in. Lord, in Acts, we see the apostles, we see them pray, and what do they pray? They pray for boldness. They pray for boldness to share the word. So I pray today for boldness on every person that's standing today. I pray that they would go out and step out in the faith that and empower that you have provided. Every person in here has the kingdom of God, the full weight of the kingdom of God living inside of them. And I just pray for boldness for every person in here and sensitivity to the Spirit, to hear your voice, to step out. And even when they don't hear your voice, we already know it's your will to go out and preach and teach. Is your name Jesus? All right. Amen. So that's our presentation today.
Thank you, everybody, for letting us share with you.
Thank you, Daniel. Thank you, Rachel. It was amazing. I hope you all were encouraged as well. Something that stood out to me was the commandment that the Holy Spirit placed upon them. It's on us all. It says to go. It doesn't say, you know, it reminds me of a, I don't know. I tell my son to go clean his room. That's a commandment, right? He doesn't go to his room and memorize it. Oh, I'm going to clean my room. I'm going to clean my room. I'm going to clean my room. Dad, I memorized it. I cleaned my room. I'm going to clean my room. And then he goes back and he gets down and does a word study on it. Let's see. Let's do a study on this. Let's figure this out. He says go. So my commandment to my son was to go clean your room. God commanded us to go. Now, while there's nothing wrong with doing a little word study and thinking about it a little more, it's a commandment, you guys. It is a commandment to go. So it is like they said, it's he's asking, we all stood, right? And it's just, it is a commandment. So I hope throughout the week we can all just take their example. Just find somebody to pray for. Because like I said, it doesn't have to be anything special. Just talk to them. Holy Spirit's going to put the right person in your path at the right time. And I love a lot of words he said, but God. I heard him say that a lot. But God. But the prayer team wants to come forward. Because again, we don't have to be in Brazil. We don't have to be in a third world country. Healing can take place right here in Kamehameha. Because God is good. All the time. All the time, God is good. So we're going to sing about that goodness now. I love you, Lord. your mercy never fails me, oh my dear.